Blog Talk Radio.
Now, how many know that Jesus reigns? I want every unbeliever to hear me, every atheist and agnostic, every non-believer. Guess what? He reigns, and there's not a thing you can do about it. Yes, yes, I'm starting it off already. I'm already in that space, head space. Praise God, praise God. God bless you, each and every one of you, and thank you for joining another Tuesday night, God's Word to Man broadcast. I am Brother Manny. I like to enjoy myself in the Lord from time to time. I like to declare some stuff and decree some stuff just so everyone can hear. Amen. I appreciate you joining us. If you're joining live or if you're listening to the recording, God bless you. I want you to send that link that you clicked on. Send it far and wide to as many people as you can. If you're not afraid, post it to your Facebook page. I mean, you may not listen to it. Let's just be honest. Some of you may listen for a minute or two and then stop listening. But something that is said tonight may bless somebody. It may save somebody. It may uplift and encourage somebody. So I want you to share it. Praise God. And if you got, you know, enough nerve, if you're not scared, you can definitely call in with a comment. Even if you have a question or a prayer request, we would love to hear from you. The number to call in is 563-999-3552. Again, that number is 563-999-3552. We have a great topic. Is mustard seed faith enough? Some of y'all walking around here with mustard seed faith. Praise God. Some of you are walking around here with more than mustard seed faith. And I say to that, hallelujah. But a lot of us, and when I say us, I'm talking about so-called Christian folk, church folk, born-again believers. We're walking around with less than mustard seed faith. And we're going to talk about that right now. But you know I'm not alone. I always have my brother, at least one of my brothers on with me, and he's the brother that always gets on. He's loyal. He's always faithful to this calling God has placed on his life, and I appreciate him coming on here because, you know, you can't let me run loose over the airways. Praise God. And I'm going to bring him on. He is my brother in Christ, also my older brother, my blood brother. Amen. Pastor Joseph Murphy of the Caring Church of Memphis. God bless you, Rev. How are you?
I'm blessed, Brother Manny. God bless you. How you doing today?
Oh, man, I got joy in my heart. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Smiling all the way.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. So I'm glad we got a chance to do this tonight. That devil was fighting me the whole way, man. I got off my job, my shift late. You know, I didn't get a chance to study the way I would really have loved to study. And I could just hear the whispers of someone. I'm not going to say it's Satan. Not even give him that much, you know, power. Just said, hey, man, just cancel it. Postpone it, man, till next time. I said, oh, no, devil. We're going on. Amen.
Yes, sir.
So I appreciate you for joining me. You sound a little tired yourself, Reb.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But, you know, listen, you know me. I love talking about the Word of God. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. So we're gonna go ahead and get to it. I'm going to pray because I like approaching the throne of the King, my
Amen.
King, my Lord, my God, my Father.
Yes, sir.
God Jehovah, in the name of Jesus, we thank
yes,
you.
Yes, yes.
We thank you for another day, another opportunity to come before your throne and before the people here. Hallelujah. With another word, another lesson, we pray that each and every one that hears this message be uplifted, encouraged, inspired. May your Holy Spirit take control. Word our mouths, Lord. Let
yes.
this broadcast go wherever you need it to go, and to
yes.
wherever home you need it to go. And
yes,
to
Lord.
Whoever's listening, Father, we pray that you bless them, that
yes,
you
Lord.
Encourage them, that you speak to their hearts today. Work your power today, Lord, in a mighty and miraculous way. Bless the man of God as he brings forth the word and as we share the gospel with the people. In Jesus' name, may you get the glory, the honor, and the praise always. And we love you. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
So mustard seed faith. Amen. Pastor, we were talking about this the other day.
Yes,
and
sir.
I like when we start talking about the word, man, because that
yeah.
stuff start downloading into me as you talk.
Yes, sir.
I mess around and say something that the Holy Spirit put in my mind. I got to blurt it
yes,
out
because
if I don't, I'll mess around and forget it, amen. So I'm glad we're talking about this. What made you want to talk
amen.
About that?
Well, you know, as you study the scripture, and then it doesn't matter how long, you know, you study and read the Bible, and if you preach or teach, the more you study, you know, God will begin to show you some things from the scripture. And it could be a scripture that you have studied before, but, you know, for whatever reason, there are times when God gives you a different revelation of that scripture. And so, you know, I'm a firm believer of everybody studying the Bible for themselves. So even though, you know, we teach on this platform and we also teach on the Facebook Live platform on Thursdays and Sundays, so of course, I'm always of the mindset that people should still go back and read and study for themselves. Because if we don't do that, if we don't allow God to talk to us personally, there are times you'll take somebody's word for something, and then there'll be generations and generations and generations where people are repeating things that they thought were in the Bible or thought the Bible meant, and it could be perfectly either completely false or taken out of context. And so this mustard seed faith is something that I've heard down through the years. I've heard people say, you know, all you need is faith, mustard seed faith. But, and I think some people meant it kind of in the right realm, but I think there were other people who believed, oh, man, long as I got mustard seed faith. Well, the truth of the matter is, when you look at Matthew 17 and 20, Jesus is rebuking his disciples, and yes, Jesus says, and what we really need to do is read it in the King James. Jesus says in the King James, you must have faith as mustard seed, as a size of mustard seed, not literally mustard seed faith. But I'm going to let you get into that piece, because what you begin to say just bless my soul, you know. And so I'll just chime in when you get done. But that's what made me want to look at this, especially particularly on this platform, because, again, for those who are listening live and for those who may listen to it later, hopefully if they were among the ones, and it's okay not to know something, Brother Manny. I think there's this shame around not knowing certain things about the Bible that shouldn't even exist. If you don't know, you don't know. But once you come into the knowledge and the wisdom of it, and then you go and you search it for yourself, then we are then responsible for then rightly dividing God's word. And so as you alluded to in your opening, mustard seed faith is good, but it's not where God wants us to stay. But I want you to go ahead, and I want you to share with the people who, you know, what the Holy Spirit shared with you when we first were talking about this on Sunday.
Amen. So, one thing that I love about God's word is that, like you said, you can read it multiple times, the same scripture, mm-hmm. and yeah. if you're not careful, you'll think that something that's it. And listen, I'm not saying that, you know, I want the listeners to understand that I'm sure that God has gave, you know, you many revelations, people many revelations about his word. And many times a lot of people are on the right track. But however, you can read something for 100 years,
yeah,
and trust me, you still have not even touched a fraction of the depth of God's word. And so, this is just our, you know, attempt at sharing something that God has given us through our conversations. That I want you to add to what God has given you. And like Rev said, go back and study. One of the things that I find interesting is that we always talk about the disciples, you know, and what Jesus taught the disciples, and what the disciples walked with Jesus. They went everywhere he went. They also performed miracles, and they also, you know, saw Jesus do so much, and Jesus taught them so much. And so they were joined at the hip with Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
And many of these men left their livelihoods.
Mm-hmm.
They left their family.
Yeah.
To follow Jesus. So they were with Jesus all the time. And I love the scripture in the Bible that talks about that Jesus did were written down. The world could not even contain the books. So let's just suffice that Jesus was him, if I could put it that way. He was the man. He did things not even trying to do things. You understand what I'm saying? Like, there were, I made a post the other day that as long as Jesus was giving out dinners and miracles, he was everybody's favorite. But when he started rebuking folk and when he started telling folk to repent, they wanted to kill him. Yeah. That's how we treat Jesus right now. But that's neither here nor there. The one thing that I like about this story is that Jesus was always teaching, showing them, because he said, listen, you got to get this because I'm about to go back to my Father. So I need you to get this. It was serious. Jesus was serious about them getting what he was trying to give them. And so in this particular passage of scripture, someone came to Jesus, a man came to Jesus and said, Jesus, please, you got to come help my son. And I'm going to read a little bit of it before the 20th verse.
Yeah.
And it's talking about the demonic. Now, I'm going to read it in the Amplified version because it kind of communicates how God put it down inside of me. Okay. It says, when they approached the crowd, Jesus was always running into a crowd. The crowd always followed Jesus. Why? Because he was feeding people and healing people. I mean, to me, that's a no-brainer. Where's Jesus? But he was approached by a crowd, and a man came up to Jesus kneeling right away, kneeling, acknowledging him as Lord. Worship. Right away, he sovereign God. I love that. And he said he was kneeling before him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. My God. Moonstruck and suffers terribly, for he often falls into the fire and he often falls into the water. And listen to this now. And I brought him to your disciples and they were not able to heal him. Now, this is a man that says, Jesus, I brought my son to your people, but they can't do what you did. They can't do what you do. I brought my son to your so-called disciples, but they didn't have no success. My son's still messed up. Okay, he's still a lunatic. He called his son a lunatic. Okay, and the Bible says, Jesus answered, you unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? Now listen, this Jesus' disciples.
Yeah.
Jesus scolded them.
Yeah.
Because he was embarrassed.
Yes.
He's teaching them.
Yeah.
They're with him all the time. And he says, how long do I have to be with you before you get it?
Before you get it.
You unbelieving and perverted generation. Now, he wasn't calling them perverted in a way that meant something sexual. He was saying perverted. You are deviating from what I taught you. If you look up the word pervert, it's a deviation from its intended use. You are my disciples, and you have a purpose. You have an intended use, and you're deviating from it. Jesus was embarrassed and fed up. And so Jesus said, how long shall I put up with you? That's what he said. How long shall I put up with you? He said, bring the boy to me and let me show you how it's done. He didn't say that part, but I threw that in there for Jesus. Let me show you how it's done. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed at once. For all of y'all that trying to figure out what at once means, it means immediately. The demon came out immediately, okay? And he said, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and took Jesus to the side and said, Lord, Master, why could we not drive it out? What did we do wrong? Jesus said, now here is the answer. And this is how God, I just want to let you know something. Let me tell you something about how the Holy Spirit is super cold. Yeah. Okay? I never read this in this translation.
Mm-hmm.
I never read this. This was downloaded to me as me and Rev were talking.
Yeah.
Jesus, he said, he answered, because of your little faith, your lack of trust and confidence in the power of God, for I assure you and most solemnly say to you, if you have living is in brackets, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and if it is God's will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And then he clarified and said, but this particular demon is a strong demon, and except you pray and fast, you can't do what I do. But we're not on that part right there, the praying and fasting part. That's a later part, and I do have that a little bit in my notes. But I want to bring up this part, because when I searched the little faith part, see, a mustard seed, if you do your research on a mustard seed, a mustard seed is small and it's unassuming. It's not even a nice color. But a mustard seed can do so much, can be made into so many things. I'm going to let y'all research mustard seeds, and you'll get it. You'll get it. Go back and read the scripture, research mustard seed, and you'll get it. But in my notes, I was reading this study, and it says that faith appears small and weak to us, mustard seed faith.
Yeah.
It appears small and weak. And people will say, oh, all you got is mustard seed faith? Let me just be upfront and keep it real. More than half of the body of Christ is walking around right now with faith smaller than mustard seed faith.
Come on now.
You don't even have mustard seed faith. Stop telling people you have faith and you believe God, because you really don't. And I'm going to tell you why. Because in my study it says mustard seed faith that appears small and weak to us still can accomplish the humanly impossible. Well, what are you saying, Brother Manny? Okay. This mountain that's in this scripture represents an obstacle, a hindrance, something humanly insurmountable, a problem that cannot be solved. It's one that seems impossible to us, but what God is telling us is that when we commit ourselves and we accurately understand, this is what the study said, accurately understanding the authority and understand God's power, will, and purpose and provision.
Yeah.
We can not only possible, but Jesus himself said, according to the will of God, you will be able to do anything.
Yeah.
That's the caveat, though, if it's God's will.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Pastor.
No, I think it's interesting that when you look at this text, you know, Jesus is rebuking the disciples, and in some of the commentaries, Jesus refers to their faith as insufficient. And so to the point you were making earlier about the size of the mustard seed, he contrasts it with the ability to move mountains. And what I love about Jesus is he's always talking in a context in which the people he's talking to can understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so because culturally where they were, it was a mountainous area, they understood what difficulties came about or were presented, you know, by a mountain because they lived all around them. And so, so they know what that meant. And so for him to say that you can say to that mountain, or what, in other words, whatever mountain or whatever issue or trial that seems, as you said, impossible, the fact that he said you can speak to the mountain and tell it to go into the sea. Now he didn't just simply say you can just speak to the mountain and the mountain gonna speak back, or the mountain ain't gonna say anything. He said, no, you can command the mountain to change its location. And so be uprooted from where you currently are and be cast into the sea. And
amen.
So when you understand that he's saying that you guys didn't even have enough faith to do that, which is not necessarily mind-boggling to Jesus, because he knows all, because he's still 100% God and 100% man. But it's like, how long have you guys been with me that you can't, that you don't even have sufficient enough faith to be, you know, kind of compared to mustard seed faith, small faith. But we can't talk about them because, you know, there are some of us, and I won't, we can't really accurately put a percentage on it. Among the believers, people know who's listening. You know how you walk in faith, and you know how long you've been a Christian. And what Jesus was saying, one of the things Jesus was saying by using this mustard seed is that your faith should not stay at mustard seed faith. But the point I love that you made on Sunday was, but look at what you can do with mustard seed faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so imagine if we can move a mountain with mustard seed faith, what could we move with mountain-sized faith? What could we declare and decree to come to pass if we had the gift of faith, if we were walking in such great faith because we're walking in such great relationship and fellowship with God? The one thing, and you alluded to this, Brother Manny, the one thing that the writer was trying to get people to understand is, and even Jesus was trying to get the disciples to understand, is you have discounted indirectly my God's ability and his authority. Because, Brother Manny, when we properly understand God's authority and his ability, then our faith should be at the highest it could possibly be. And that doesn't have anything to do with longevity in church. That has everything to do with us being closer to God on a personal level through our own personal prayer, praise, study. You see what I'm saying? Meditation. Come on, man. Listen, you can be in church 6 months and still be at the place where you have mountain-sized faith, or you walking in the gift of faith. You know, it doesn't have to take 20 and 30 years, because the reality is the Word of God is here for whoever wants to apply themselves to the Word of God. I don't know about anybody else, Manny, but I'm so glad that God did not leave us to our own devices. He's given us the Holy Spirit for those of us who are saved. He's given us his written word. Amen. He sometimes talks to us. So really and truthfully, Brother Manny, we don't really have, that's why I said we can't talk about the disciples, because we don't even really have we don't really have the room to be able to kind of rag on them, because how many times have we wavered in our faith? How many times have we pulled out of the scripture? Well, it's saying the scripture, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. But yeah, but how long are you going to linger there? And so I find that as believers, we need to, you know, stop finding convenient scriptures that allow us to kind of ruminate in our misery, or if you will, or, you know, our low-key depression. And we need to find the Word of God that not only comes alive, but brings us alive and causes us to reflect on what God has done for us in the times past. And if you don't want to reflect on what he's done for you in times past, understand God's authority and his ability. He reigns supreme. There's none higher than God. Glory, hallelujah. We're going to talk about that a little bit more on Thursday, Facebook Live, but there's none higher than God. That means God's word is the final answer. He is the final authority on everything. So there's nothing that you can bring before God. There's nothing that you can't believe God for that is within his will that God cannot do. And so I don't know about anybody else, but even simply studying this text has increased and strengthened my faith. And now I pray differently because, you know, when your faith is wavering, you pray like you have wavering faith. You say things that indicate you're unsure that if he's even going to do it. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not trying to dog anybody out, but we have to learn that we deal with a God whose word is his word. He don't go back on it for nothing or nobody. And nobody can do anything about it.
Amen.
And you're right, Pastor. I shouldn't try to put a percentage on it. I'm so passionate about when we learn information. See, many of you may not have mustard seed faith because you didn't have enough information, maybe, or maybe the information didn't get in all the way, didn't seep in all the way. Maybe you're going to have your, as some people say, your aha moment, your revelation.
Maybe it
comes today, right? This isn't the first time Jesus referenced the mustard seed, okay? There's a reason why he's using mustard seed, because a mustard seed is among one of the smallest seeds on earth.
It's not like he's
saying, hey, you should have a boulder-like faith, or you should have an apple seed-like faith, or whatever the seed is. He said mustard seed. Why? Because it's among one of the smallest seeds on earth. And yet when it is planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all the garden plants. And the Bible says that the branches are so large, the birds come and have shade.
Yes, sir. Yes,
there's
sir.
So many different yes, uses sir. for the mustard seed. A lot of y'all like mustard on your hot dogs. We ain't gonna get into that. We're gonna talk about food. But that's one of my favorite uses for mustard seed. But anyway, why am I saying that? Why am I talking about the growth of the seed? Well, the reason I'm talking about the growth of the seed, what God is trying to get us to understand, and this is where the growth portion of it is coming in, what we're talking about. You shouldn't just want to stay at mustard seed faith.
Yeah,
or the
good.
Faith the
that's
size
good.
Of a mustard seed, right? You shouldn't want to just stay there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But God has the ability, through speaking a word over a thing, to nurture a seed, that it changes. I like the word that Pastor used, transmogrification. I couldn't spell it 3 or 4 times even if I tried one time. Transmogrification. God transforms seeds. Seeds become plants, and they begin to sprout, and they begin to grow strong roots.
Yes.
So when Jesus is speaking about this planted seed, he's talking about its potential. But even if it's at its potential, its smallest point, it's so impactful. And so he was disappointed in his disciples because they had not developed, even after all they've seen, even after all that has been done in front of them, they still were not where they should be. And Jesus was embarrassed, I believe. And here it is. We're not where we should be, saints.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest. My study said that the power of life that surges in a tender young plant to the extent that it could even move a mountain, it could push past rocks.
Yeah.
Now, you say, Brother Manny, come on now. A mountain on top of a plant, that plant ain't going to grow. I'm going to tell you, I would have thought the same thing if I had not seen it with my own eyes.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of National Geographic.
Yeah.
I've seen places that were completely destroyed by nuclear blasts. They said nothing would grow there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Volcanoes that have erupted on top of plants and trees and destroyed everything. And after a certain amount of years, guess what? You see a bud, a tree. You see a branch sticking up through the rocks, the cracks in the rocks. You see, when God puts something on assignment,
yes, sir.
Even the mountains can't stop it.
Yes, sir.
Even mountains can't stop it.
Yes, sir.
And this is what Jesus is trying to get us to understand. We need that seed planted. And that is my hope tonight, is that this little lesson plants a seed, a mustard seed, deep down in your belly. And I pray that it's nurtured by God's word, that you nurture it in prayer, being in the presence of God, nurturing the seed so that it will
yes,
grow
sir.
And have a harvest. Amen. Go ahead, Pastor.
No, man, I'm just enjoying listening. Amen. You know, and if we can wrap our heads around, he's not necessarily simply scolding them for scolding's sake. He's trying to mature them in their faith.
Yeah.
And sometimes what the devil does, even to us, is he wants us to take offense at correction.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that we'll miss out on the instruction.
Come on, man.
And in that way, we can't mature our faith because we're spending too much time bitter at being told we were doing something wrong, even though what we were being told we were doing wrong, it was in our benefit to find out that we were doing it wrong.
Come on.
You see what I'm saying? Instead of somebody not saying anything to you, love is me not being quiet. That ain't love. If I'm gonna be quiet and let you just be ignorant and let you be in the dark and let you keep on making the wrong decisions and this and that, that's not love. But love says, I love you enough to see that you're in error, but I'm gonna help you out in love so that you're on the right page, on the right track, not based on me, but based on the truth of God's word. And so what's so powerful about what Jesus is doing in that moment, hey, you guys have been hanging with me. You should be sharper and further along, especially as it relates to your faith. But I tell you what, here's something you can understand. Here's something you can comprehend. I'm turning this into not just correction, but I'm turning this into a teachable moment so that the next time we won't have to have this discussion, and so that the next time you are empowered with the ability to do what I did without coming back saying, Lord, why wasn't it subject to us? Now you know. He gives them instruction. Okay, I need you to understand that it's not only just about faith, but faith is the foundational component, but also some things you're going to incur. It's going to take faith, but it's also going to take fasting. And so he turned this whole moment that the devil would have sought to bring disunity and confusion, he turned it into a teachable moment, and that's what people should be drawing even from our lesson on tonight. We're not saying that you're sorry or you pitiful or you just dumb because you don't know the word. We're not saying that at all. What we're saying is we got to check and do inventory of where our faith really is. Because the one thing is true. When we speak something in faith and it's in the will of God, it has to obey. It has to be obedient. It has to line up. Not according to our timing, but it has to line up. And so when we spend time with God, then we learn what to ask. And we understand that there's no reason for us to sit around anxiously awaiting because when you spend enough time with God, you have your faith is not only in His Word, your faith is in the fact He is God, He is sovereign, He is ruler, and there's nothing nobody can do about it. Your faith is in the fact of His, like I said before, His authority and His ability. God can tell the devil, go somewhere and sit down. My child is going to be blessed. My child is going to be healed. My child is going to be delivered. And there's nothing the devil can do about it. And even Satan knows that. That's why he doesn't go to God telling God what ain't going to happen. He comes to us trying to make us believe that it's not going to happen. He comes to us to try to discourage us with patience. With impatience and that kind of thing. But when you know God, when you know what God is capable of, when you understand that God is not a bell hop, you don't just hit the bell and God comes a running. He doesn't work that way. But when you know that God will never go back on His word, and if He declares something over your life, it's coming to pass. You might as well go on and live your life. And when you see it, rejoice. Hallelujah. Before you see it, rejoice. After you receive it, rejoice. Because God is not going to disappoint. He's not. If He said it, it shall come to pass. As long as we keep our mouth off of it, It has to be obedient. I love the picture that you painted about the budding of trees and plants and even grass that break up out of concrete. It happens all the time. If people don't believe it, just leave your driveway alone for a little while, if you have a driveway. Or just leave your sidewalk alone for a little while, if you have a sidewalk. And you'll see, and you'll be wondering, where did this grass come from? Oh, it's just laying on top of the concrete. But if you pull it, you'll find out that it ain't just laying on top of the concrete. It has broke through the concrete, the cement.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, it has to do it, man.
Amen. Yes, it does.
Yeah, man. You know, and Brother Manny, you can just see it budding, right? It, while it's budding, it's not thinking about how I'm going to make it through here. It's not even worried about how it's going to make it through. It knows it has to get through because that's what God told it to do. It don't even have a choice. It's not like some of us, well, you know, how we trying to figure stuff. No, God don't want you to try to figure. God don't want you to try to figure nothing out. That's why he's God. He did all the hard work already, which it wasn't hard to him.
Amen.
But he did all that already. All you got to do is believe. Wow, what kind of father would love us so much that not only all we got to do is believe, but he's given us the tools to encourage our belief system, our faith. Listen. When we talk about trials coming, they don't come to destroy us. They come to make us strong. They come to mature us, to draw us closer to God. And knowing that I don't just have – it's like having a father who – or older brother who, when you're in trouble, you can run home and say, hey. And then you know your older brother or your father – or even your uncle, they're going to come out the house and they're going to defend your honor. Well, the only difference is, you know, your older brother, your uncle, your father, they can be defeated. But, man, think about when we call God.
Amen.
He's undefeated and undefeatable. He's not taking no L's. God don't know what a loss is. And so when we learn, first of all, we got to take inventory to see where our faith is. God, help me to understand where my faith is. Am I the type of person that always panics when trouble comes? God says something about my lack of faith. Or am I confident when troubles come? Not confident in myself, not confident in my abilities, but am I confident in you, God? Do I confidently know God's got this under control? I know it seems like it's haywire. It, in fact, may even be haywire. But my God got this under control. And Matty, he don't barely have it under control. He's got it under complete control.
100%.
So the question is mustard seed faith enough? And the answer is, it is enough in the beginning. But as you so eloquently put it, that the mustard seed grows from the smallest seed there is to the largest plant in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
So what is God saying? What is his expectation for our faith? It is simply for it to grow and to mature into a place where we used to sometimes trust God, to a place where all the time I trust you, God. I place every situation in your more than capable hand. And it doesn't matter where you are today. That's what I want us to understand, Brother Manny, before we get off the line. It doesn't matter where you are today, because you can start from today. You can start from now and grow your faith.
Amen.
But it starts with believing and understanding who God is, his authority and his ability. That's almost like half the battle. Why would my faith be wavering when I serve, when my father's an undefeatable God, the only true and living God? He's always existed. He's a creator, which means everything that's created is subject to his voice.
Amen.
If God wanted, he could cease the devil and the third of angels to even be in existence.
Amen.
And so my heart is that we get into a place where every day we're reading a little bit more to mature our faith, where we're meditating a little bit more to grow our faith, where we're believing without seeing a little bit more. So ultimately, we trust God no matter what, Manny. Whatever's going on in your life, why aren't you rattled? Why aren't you shaken? God, I trust him. He hasn't failed me yet. He never will fail me. He never will leave me nor forsake me. That's why I'm not shaken. This is not arrogance. This is not pride. This is me telling you I've humbled myself under the mighty hand of God, and I truly believe that he has everything under control, because, first of all, he's already rolled all of this stuff out. Before he even put the foundation in the world, he laid it all out. What is God doing now? He's resting. The scripture says he's resting. Oh, man. No worries, man. Everything I need. Everything going to be all right, man. God's got it under control.
As the pastor said the other day, it won't be long.
It won't be long now, brother. I'm telling you, man. If we can receive that in our spirit, man, we're talking about dealing with a God that he's not even bound by time, which means he can manipulate it however he wants to. He can cause it to stand still. There wouldn't be nothing nobody could do about it. Why is time standing still? Because God said so. Challenge him on this, see what happens.
Amen. Man, I just hope that people who are at faith the size of a mustard seed, I hope and pray that your faith grows, that it grows in such a way that it's so large that just like the mustard seed plant to the largest tree in the garden, and birds come and rest and take shade. My prayer is that your faith becomes so large that others, literally others, are blessed by your faith.
Yes.
That they are affected and infected and infected by your level of faith. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
That's what is my prayer. I pray that I become the largest plant, the largest tree in the garden with strong roots. Amen.
Amen.
That's my prayer for myself and for you.
Amen.
And I just want to thank each and every one of you for joining us, whether you joined us live or you listened on the broadcast later on the recording. I thank God for you and your family. And I just want to leave you with this. I pray that God continues to strengthen your faith and protect you and your family, is my prayer. Amen. I love you. Rev.
And don't forget that God cares, and so does the caring church. Be blessed. Grow your faith.
Amen.
How many know that Jesus reigns?